You won't remember me for the good things I've done. You remember me for my faux pas, won't you? I'll have to warn Jay that he needs to make a few deliberate mistakes. From that reading, just then, one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. But he was the only one of the ten. I think for a lot of us, an ungrateful response is one of the very few things that we like to receive when we've just spent a great deal of time and a great deal of energy often looking after somebody or doing particular things for others. Now there's Jesus, he's healed all ten of them, but one, just the Samaritan, comes back and thanks him. We probably feel a bit, I suppose the word is not, don't we? You know, if we do something for somebody and they don't even mutter, thank you. But ungratefulness comes in different forms, and it can be obvious, direct, like the story in that gospel reading, where a clear case of concern and loving, in that case, on Jesus' behalf, and that on Jesus, to the pleas of those ten lepers, results in only one act of thanks, and that comes from a double outcast. He's a leper and he's a Samaritan from a foreign country. So we can perhaps forgive them their apparent ingratitude, as Jesus told them to show themselves to the priests as proof of their newfound cleanliness. So we could maybe excuse them by saying it was the excitement and the joy that overtook them. But if you think about it, there are cases where ingratitude can be more insidious, where we take things for granted and simply don't even notice or care when something's done for us. That's often the result of a selfish attitude towards others, where our ego is always at the center of things. But it's certainly not the way of the gospel. Think of the anecdote from that first reading that I asked Susie to read. Naaman's story in the Book of Kings shows us one way at shifting the focus of our selfishness. At Elisha's insistence, he bathes himself in the River Jordan and is healed of his skin complaint. Maybe he was a leper. Now at this point, something very important happens. The thankfulness and gratitude that Naaman expresses as a result of this healing is linked both to Elisha and to God. To both Elisha who did it and to God. He even wants to give the prophet a present. But Elisha points to the reality behind the miracle. It wasn't him that did it. It's God who has done this great work. And it's to God alone that we should, that gratitude and praise should always be given. Elisha refuses the gift that's offered. What does Naaman do? I think he sees exactly what Elisha intends, that God, in his loving mercy, and in response to the faith of Naaman and Elisha, has answered their prayer. And he sees that it is to God that he must render thanks and praise. But that points out to us a way for us to follow. What is it? So go back to that gospel reading for a moment. We know that many of the stories about Jesus have got layers and layers of meaning in them. You know, sometimes I'll preach on a gospel reading one year and you come back to it another year and you see a completely different message in that same reading. The gospel stories have layers and layers in them. And if we unpack that tale this morning of the lepers, we find that out of the 10 lepers, 9 were presumably Jewish, because we're told that one Samaritan. So they were Jewish, and they were bound by the ritual laws of their faith. Now this restoration to their place in the community, because they're now healed, means that what followed was official recognition that they were intact and clean again. Hence Jesus' insistence on showing themselves to the priests as proof of this. But a second part of the healing procedure was always to give thanks to God for his love and his mercy. Maybe the 9 did so, but it certainly doesn't say so in that passage. But we can suppose that they fulfilled the law, the Jewish laws of their day. So in one way, they may have been grateful after all, but they missed the truth of the whole situation, didn't they? The Samaritan couldn't do that legal stuff because he wasn't a Jew, so he couldn't go off to the priests. He was not part of the Jewish community. But the twist in that tale is that, as always, the outcast, the Samaritan, sees the truth. He understands the reality of the situation. Because in Jesus, he discerns the true presence of God. And he gives praise and thanks to God, to Jesus. That's true gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord of all, the real source of all goodness and mercy, but who unfortunately is so often left out of our human affairs. Not only can we ask ourselves the question, when did we last show gratitude for other people in our lives? But maybe we should also say, when did we last thank God for these gifts? It's very easy to be preoccupied, isn't it? It's very easy to forget. How often do we say sometimes, oh, thank God. But are we really thanking God? Do we really mean it? But on the other hand, when I was deliberating this during the week, I thought I wouldn't be too upset if we keep forgetting to give thanks. Because I was looking forward to this service today, and I was preparing what I was going to say. Because we actually do give thanks week in and week out when we come to church, to this service, the service that we often call the Eucharist. Because the Eucharist is a Greek word that means simply thanksgiving. So we give thanks when we come to the communion service, to the Eucharist. But we also give thanks when we reach out to that friend or that neighbor. Or sometimes we do it wordlessly and just smiling at somebody. But what is really important is that we know that we belong to a community, whether it's a church community or a group of people, maybe a prayer group, who shares that work of gratitude. And when we forget, then, others remember to do it for us. And at the heart of our faith as Christians is that lovely surprise, as St. Paul reminds us often, that we are part of the body of Christ. And that means that whatever we may do, the Lord Jesus remains with us always. He's always faithful, and he can't disown his own self, and we are part of his body. Think of the words we say during the communion service, because not only that, but we have the gift and the help of the Holy Spirit, who fills us with wordless praise and gratitude. And what do we say often? Let us give thanks to the Lord, for it is right to give him thanks and praise.